are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into the first conversation for this morning. We're connecting with Pastor Mzonzi Magwala to speak to us about competing with comparison. All right, so he wanted the award. He wanted the top mark, the spotlight, but someone else got it. Boys may not say it out loud, but comparison can sink deep, festering into jealousy, insecurity, or withdrawal. In a world obsessed with success and status, boys need to know that their value does not depend on trophies or applause. God doesn't rank his children. He walks uniquely with each one. And so success is not a finish line, but a journey walked with integrity and identity in Jesus Christ. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Zam. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's get into this conversation about competing with comparison. Now, how does comparison quietly affect boys' self-esteem and confidence?
First of all, I must greet the listeners at home. They must just pardon me. I'm feverish today.
Oh, no.
Which may be a bit horsey.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No problem. Maybe I should just start with some background to this in responding to your question. In today's performance-driven society, boys are often taught, directly or indirectly, that identity is rooted in how they rank among others. Therefore, that on its own competition. Whether through academics, through athletics, through social validation, or a talent, the message is often, you are what you achieve.
Mm.
This cultural narrative creates fertile ground for comparison, where boys measure their worth based on someone else's accomplishments. However, the biblical perspective is very clear. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord at the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And Jesus calls to a journey rooted in character, not applause, not in affirmation, not just recognition. And we are now going to just look at some of the questions that you are raising. Your question is, how does comparison quietly affect boys' self-esteem and confidence?
Yeah.
Comparison acts as a silent saboteur.
Mm.
While it may not always be vocalized, boys internalize standards of value based on others' success. When they see peers winning awards or receiving praise, it may create three important things.
Mm-hmm.
It may create feelings of inadequacy, I'm not good enough, or feelings of performance anxiety. performance anxiety, I have to win to matter. Or thirdly, self-silencing behaviors, where boys stop trying to fear for fear of not measuring up.
Mm.
Therefore, those three important things that result from this competitive spirit that we have created in our environments. Now, there's someone who wrote something very, very important by the name of Tim Elmore. He said, boys in competitive environments can develop a scarcity mindset, believing that someone else's success diminishes their own.
Mm-hmm.
And this undermines God's design that each person is fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, one, before you you think about this performance mindset, one needs to reflect on two important questions. The first one, do I believe I must succeed to be accepted? Because if that is your belief, then it simply means that in all the times that you have not been successful, then you are diminished. You are not the person God created. Now, the second one, when others are praised, do I feel threatened or inspired? Those are questions that run around the issue of performance and the comparison that we see out there. Let's stop there for now.
And you know, when we think about competition, it's normally looked at as a negative thing. In I would say in the Christian world, it's looked at as a negative thing, competition, because it requires you to want to win at the expense of somebody else. But what do you think is the difference between healthy competition and toxic rivalry?
Okay, that's another important aspect. Well, if we are looking at healthy competition, we are looking at what drives it. Now, what drives a healthy competition? Number one, it's self-improvement. In other words, you're not competing with other people. You are competing with yourself. You want to improve. Number two, it's mutual respect. You respect yourself. You respect your abilities. You respect your limitations. And you also respect other people's abilities, that they may be more than yours, but they are not diminishing you. And then the third one is a spirit of fairness. Are things done equitable, fairly? Am I being treated the same way they are treated? That is very important to look at those. Then number four, the desire to do one's best without demeaning others. In other words, I'm not running as an athlete because I want to prove a point that I do it better than that one. I am running because I'm competing with myself. It has nothing to do with a second person, even though I'm running with other people. So that's very important. Now, we're looking at a healthy competition. Now, if we are going to be looking at toxic rivalry, we are going to be saying it is driven by envy, okay? I'm envious of your achievements, and I also want to. It's driven by sabotage. It's driven by identity attachment to winning. If I don't win, then I'm a nobody. It's driven by emotional breakdown when others succeed. I end up to commit suicide because I'm not doing things the way they're supposed to be done. And Paul puts a nice point in this one in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 25. He speaks of running a race in such a way as to obtain the prize. However, the Christian race is not against others, but toward Christ. That's an important which we need to look at. And we also need to look at the point that when boys link self-worth to performance, they can fall into what Larry Crabb calls the performance trap, which breeds spiritual and emotional exhaustion. Well, that's an important aspect that I want us to look at. And then if you find yourself in that situation, you need to ask yourself the following two questions. What motivates me? Is it growth or is it being better than others? And two, am I competing to glorify God or am I competing to glorify self?
Wow. Those are very good questions to ask oneself. That's beautiful. I love that. So the measure of my success is about whether or not it's bringing me closer to God and glorifying God, rather than looking at what other people are doing or comparing to other people's progress and other people's ideas or concepts about success.
That's correct.
Beautiful. Now, how can boys learn to do that, to celebrate other people without feeling less than, to look at other people's success not as their own failure?
Another important question. Now, first of all, we need to understand that celebrating others requires emotional maturity.
Okay.
It requires gratitude. It requires self-security. And those three things that I've mentioned can only be cultivated through teaching empathy. In other words, rejoicing with those who rejoice. Very important. Mm. Number two, practicing affirmation, learning to say, I'm proud of you. And recognizing that success is not a limited resource. Mm. Therefore, those three help you to understand how to celebrate with others. And from a family systems perspective, a secure attachment at home helps boys regulate emotions better. And when they feel accepted, regardless of outcomes, they are less threatened by other people's successes. Therefore, it's important that we create that base at home where we give our children security, we give our children love, and we embrace our children. They begin to learn that successes are not without failures, and failures are not without successes, so that when they hit a bottom rock of failure, they know that tomorrow there's another mountain which gives success. Therefore, that is peddled at home. And if it is not peddled at home, they will have a challenge when they go out there. Yeah. Now, I think on Monday we spoke about relationships that were very important for men to grow. Mm-hmm. We mentioned something between Jonathan and David. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say, Jonathan celebrated David's successes even though it cost him the throne. Because Jonathan was supposed to be in that throne, but that throne ended up being David's throne. And Jonathan never became envious of David. He celebrated David's successes. You get that in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 4. He didn't feel less than because his identity was not based on his position. And therefore, once again, if you find yourself in that situation, just ask yourself the following two questions. How often do I affirm other successes? Mm. And can I be happy for someone else without feeling like a failure?
Mm. Wow. And what biblical examples show us how God values the progress and the process over public victory?
Yes, I think the Bible is always a source of some examples that we need to look at. Mm. And it's rich with examples, and I'm just going to share some few character development over recognition that we have been shown. Mm. The first one, Joseph. Joseph spent years in prison and slavery, and that we know for sure. And because we know that for sure, the Bible tells us in Genesis 37, 50. His time in obscurity shaped his humility when he was under the difficult circumstances and when he was in prison and slavery. The second one is David. David anointed as king, but returned to shepherding sheep before he ever sat on the throne. That's 1 Samuel 16. Because when he was anointed, he never just ascended the throne. He went back to shepherding the sheep. Mm. That's another example. His heart was refined in the fields, not in the position. Then you have Jesus himself. Now, Jesus spent 30 years in preparation for 3 years of public ministry. Now, the three examples that we've shared above, they reinforce that God uses hidden seasons to prepare boys for future purpose. Mm. Every time God wants to use someone, he uses a hidden season. And therefore, any boy that is out there, he must know that God has a plan for him, and God will allow hidden sin to his life so that he is able to achieve the goal at the end. And there are two questions again here that if you find yourself in a similar situation, you should ask. The first one is, am I more concerned with being seen or being shaped. Mm. Now, the second one is, how is God growing me in seasons of silence? Mm. Because God can be silent while you want him to talk and give direction. Where in those moments, how is God growing in you?
Powerful. That's powerful. And how can a boy guard his identity in Christ when he feels overlooked, when he feels like others seem to be getting ahead and he's falling behind? How does he guard that knowledge of who he is? How does he remain rooted in who he knows he is?
Guarding identity begins with internalizing truth.
Okay.
That's very important. Now, what truth are we referring to?
Mm-hmm.
The truth that I am a child of God.
Mm.
That I am complete in Christ. The truth that I am chosen and not forgotten. Now, that you need to internalize. Now, you would notice that spiritual practices such as journaling, scripture meditation, and prayer, they help to reinforce this kind of identity. Boys should be taught that being loved by God is not based on performance, but on God's grace himself.
Mm.
Mentors, parents, and youth leaders must consistently affirm boys' worth apart from achievements, because people are looking at achievements as the only reason and the only thing that they can be successful with. Now, I'm just going to share some practical steps, then ask the two questions that I've always been asking.
Mm-hmm.
Step one towards this kind of guarding one's identity is to create a personal identity in Christ, so that you have a verse that you can have in a card that you will always remind yourself about.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that identity in Christ card would help you. Secondly, surround yourself with peers who value character over competition.
Mm.
Because peers have a lot of influence over you. If you have peers that are competitive, you will also be competitive. If you have peers that value character, you will also be influenced in that direction. Therefore, the choice of peers among boys is very, very important. And if you find yourself in this situation as a boy, ask yourself the following two questions. What does God say about me when no one else notices me? The first one. Second one, who am I without my achievements? Very important. Can I separate myself from the achievements, or have I become part of my achievements? And therefore, your identity is an achievement. If your identity is an achievement, remember Job's story. When everything was taken and gone, Job remained a Christian. Job remained complete, even without the achievements that he had. Therefore, we want people who are going to be like that, because life is not only dependent on achievements. Achievements can all go and you remain alone.
Mm.
Would you still see yourself as a valuable person? Or would you think that your worth has been lost and therefore you are as good as dead?
Oh.
It is better for you to commit suicide.
Oh, that's powerful. I love that. That's really powerful. And I think that one is so necessary for all of us. It's not just for the men. Just to know who you are in Jesus Christ, to know who you are, your identity, apart from your achievements, apart from your things, the material things that you might have amassed, apart from the recognition that society might have given you for whatever good thing you've done. Who are you when all of that is stripped away? And it's so beautiful to know that in Jesus, we are even more than all of those little things, those additions. Those are just accessories. They are not, they shouldn't be our identity.
True.
How would you conclude this for the young man out there who is struggling to settle in who he is and to not compare himself to his brothers or to other people out there?
Okay. I call it living free from the trap of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Boys must be disciplined to embrace the truth of their worth in Christ, not in how fast they run, not in how high they score, or how much they are applauded. Just as Jesus was affirmed by the Father before his ministry began, boys too need to hear, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Mm. Let us spaces in church, spaces in schools, and spaces at home where identity is not a prize to be earned, but a truth to be embraced. Very important. Mm-hmm. We want to develop young men who are going to be responsible in life, young men who are going to have a relationship with God, and young men who are going to see achievements as a gift from God. God has given them ability to get these achievements. And therefore, any achievement is a gift. You can't love gift more than the giver. Mm. Therefore, the giver is important in loving. You love the giver because the gift that is that you have been given, it's a gift. Therefore, may God continue to be with us. He continue to embrace the boys because we want young men who are going to be of good reputation yes. in our community. I want to challenge each young boy to live a life that is beneficiary to the community where he lives, and a life that is beneficiary to his family, and a life that is beneficiary to his relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. And thank you for your time, the insights that you've shared, not just today, but on Monday as well. We really appreciate you coming through and sharing these beautiful lessons and nuggets for the young men out there. God bless you and God bless your ministry.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Zama.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.